trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 gotta get back to it. I've been the Kenny Wallace of the rap game. Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Them cold kind, we're tossing. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson.
Welcome to Throttled Up, the podcast. Throttled Up will be a weekly podcast featuring Matt and Dustin. We plan to discuss the legendary Brownstown Speedway, along with other local dirt tracks, Eldora, Salem Speedway, and all of your IndyCar and NASCAR news. Don't miss an episode of Throttled Up, the podcast.
Hey, Mo, are you going to win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, because y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt. I'm throwing dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that. Dirt, 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 gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that.
Welcome back to Throttled Up, the podcast. Pretty exciting week here coming back. A lot of racing we got in. I know that Matt and I were lucky enough. Obviously, we were at Brownstown Speedway on Saturday night, but then got the opportunity to head over to Eldora on Sunday. And as blasphemous as this may be to most of the race fans out there, it was my first time at the hallowed grounds of Eldora, getting to walk in. And that was one heck of an experience to be over there. And lucky enough, after getting to go over there, we got the guy that pulled off the win in the Johnny Appleseed Classic, the driver of the 1G, Devin Gilpin. So, Devin, thanks for being here tonight, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me back.
Appreciate it. Matt, good weekend of racing for us, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was real good. I kind of wish now we would have went Friday to Bloomington and then, you know, Monday to Lawrenceburg. That way we could have just had a four-day weekend with it.
Yeah, you're wanting me to be divorced and have a lot more free time, aren't you? we said before we got on the air that, you know, Devin said he got to go over to Lawrenceburg and watch the World Outlaws show on Monday. And here's the best part. My wife just joined, and I said that you know, I really wanted to go, but I was afraid to look at my wife with a three-week-old and say, hey, I'm going to run to Lawrenceburg and watch the sprint cars this afternoon. So I didn't make it over, but wish I could have. But, you know, obviously, like I said, a big weekend. We'll kind of start out at Brownstown. And Devin, unfortunately, I had some clips to kind of talk to you about. We got a chance to stop by the trailer. My recorder went on the fritz there. I appreciate you being patient with me, but I didn't have them. But you know, basically what we started out with talking about was throughout the first part of this season, really the only thing that has stopped you is the rain.
Yeah, absolutely. The weather's been crazy this year. I feel like this season's probably been one of the worst years for rain. It's rained, it seems like, every weekend, and it's really put a damper on our season. But when we've got a race, we've really been really good, and just couldn't be more proud of that. You know, all them guys, Beeman and Kurt and all my guys over there just working their butt off. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we're at right now.
And I know that, you know, obviously, and I kind of made the comment to you Saturday night at the track, you hate these super races getting rained out when you're going to be other places. But obviously that means for Brownstown, you get the opportunity to come back and jump into modified and have some fun there. And I know as a fan, we always like to see when you've got the 1G modified out there as well.
Yeah, it's cool when you can go and run two classes and try to win in both of them. And, you know, I really enjoy running them modified. You know, that's what I grew up racing. So to be able to go and you know, I enjoy taking my modified to other places as well. We just really putting a big emphasis on focusing on the late model this year. But when we can go to Brownstown and run them both, I really enjoy it.
And, you know, and the second time this season that you've parked both of them, you know, with double feature wins. And, you know, we've talked a lot on here about, you know, how, you know, the competition at Brownstown is so strong. What's it like to be able to go there with both cars and end up parking both of them?
It's special. You know, you normally don't get to see that because guys don't run two classes in a night, you know. So for me to be able to do that is really humbling, and it just shows all the good people I got working for me. I on Beeman's side and my grandpa and cousin Kevin's side, we got good equipment and good race cars and good motors. And you know, if it wasn't for that and all the people behind us, we wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, and I'm going to throw out something a little selfish, but, you know, one thing we were excited about is we got our new decals for the podcast, and I obviously stopped by and you ran those on your modified. So, you know, we only had the decals out one night and our decals were in victory lane. So for us, selfishly, that was a pretty cool deal for us to at least have our decal in victory lane. So, you know, when you say, you know, looking at the late model, obviously, you know, how did it feel at Brownstown on Saturday night? Obviously, you know, you got it back out, got it on the track. How was it on Saturday night?
Probably the worst I felt there all year. We missed something a little bit, but we've been working and trying new things and was a little free and a little loose off the corner. But that's just part of the growing pains of this and testing and trying stuff. But it was enough to get it done. It just we know what not to do now.
And you had and you had a very special person in victory lane with you on Saturday night. And you know, following you on social media, you posted some of those pictures. Can you fill us in on who that is and what he means to you?
Yeah, absolutely. A really good friend of mine, friend of the family, one of my dad's best friends. Rick Morgan got to come to the races Saturday. He's been battling cancer and. He hasn't been to a race all year and huge race fan and a huge Devin Gilpin fan. So for him to be able to be there and get him down in victory lane and give it, you know, have him with me and get his picture taken, it really meant a lot to me. And it was special to have him there. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm praying for him and we're all behind him.
Absolutely.
He actually walked across the track in front of me when I come over to and your dad was super excited to get him over there. You know, I could tell that meant a lot to your dad. Why, you know, because your dad helped him through the gate and everything, and I thought that was pretty cool. I could tell then, like Dustin said, I didn't know who he was, but I could tell it was special to your dad and you both when you seen him. So
it really is special to my dad and me. You know, he's a young man battling you know, the fight of his life, and you just never know what's going to happen. You know, and we're all behind him and we're all praying for him, and you know, we're Rick Morgan strong.
That's cool. And, you know, if you can give him a little, you know, glisten of enjoyment there by racing and him watching you race and you winning. I mean, that's a great thing right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a special night just to have him there and to have him come down there and, you know, greet me in victory lane and to just be able to see a smile on his face. It was cool for me to be able to do that for him and just something I'm proud of.
Good deal. Good deal.
You know, and when we look at that also in that the modified class, to kind of bounce around here a little bit, but when we go back to the modifieds, and we talked a little bit earlier when you were on, who are some of those guys that you think are the up-and-comers that, you know, are going to be a battle for you even when you show up with that modified?
You know, obviously the Jeremy Owens, he's really fast week in and week out. Jacoby Hines has been really fast the past couple years. Jordan Weaver's had a good year at Bloomington and Putnamville. You know, the modifieds has a lot of good talent coming up. It's just a shame that, you know, we can't get on the same page to have more race cars at, you know, Brownstown or Twin Cities or whatever it may be on Saturday. I feel like it's really splitting the fields in half and really cutting the fans short, you know. So I would like to see the car counts grow and, you know, just to put on a better show for the fans.
I know some of that for the modifieds, though. You know, we've had some drivers come out of the modifieds and move on to, you know, like Brandon Reed was actually second in points in the modifieds at Brownstown last year. He's going to show up this Saturday night, first time in a crate late model. So, you know, it seems like some of the modified drivers are moving on to other classes, you know.
Yeah, I just did see that. I kind of wonder where he'd been, and I just did see a picture posted that he was going to go crate racing, so that's cool, you know, and like I said last time I was on that, I really feel like that crate division is just going to keep growing and keep getting better, and I'm really excited to see where it's going because I think it's a great series and a great division, and it's, you know, more economical, and it produces great racing.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody looks at it like it's a step down, but I don't think that's the case there. I think it's, you know, it's just a more economical way for, you know, the Saturday night racer to be able to go out and race and race in a late model.
I totally agree, and like I said, it's a great series, and it's economical for a guy that wants to race late model. You know, like, hell, last year we went down south to Dixie and Rome for the Lucas races. And at Dixie, they had three. All they had was three classes, and it's three classes of late models.
Oh, wow.
It's a super late model, a 525 late model, and a crate late model. And you know, that's just a trickle down effect. You know, maybe a super guy liquidating stuff. You know, he can sell it to the 525 guy or the crate guy, and you know, they can just keep turning that stuff. Yeah. And they had a great show. You know, the fans, the stands was packed full of fans. And there were several crates and 525. So, you know, I would like to see, you know, more emphasis to that crate division around here, because I think that's the future for around here. You know, the super late model stuff in Indiana is dwindling, you know. And so I think we really need to put a big emphasis on the crate stuff.
I think with the supers, though, if you're not in a traveling series, you almost are out, because, you know, it's hard for the racetrack just to get enough to even run a good show anymore, because most of the super guys are traveling. You know, they're following the money.
I mean, Indiana, you have one racetrack to race at, and that's Brownstown in a super late model. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's just tough. I mean, when you go to Illinois, and there is a lot of local places that run super late models weekly, and you go to Ohio, and there's a lot of places that run late models weekly, and the same with Kentucky. You know, just like it skipped over Indiana or something. I don't know if it's because we're Indiana and USAC and non-wing sprint cars or whatever it is, but I think that we could really get the crate division growing and make it prosper and get, you know, get these tracks together and maybe put on a little bit of a mini series or something. But I foresee the crates to really take off. And I mean, they're doing great now, but I foresee it just keep growing.
I agree with you on that one.
And that's I guess I had never thought about that with the super late models and connecting it to the, you know, kind of the Indiana tradition with non-wing sprints and USAC, because you do see a lot of drivers in Indiana specifically that kind of go that non-wing route more than you see in some other places. So I think that's definitely an interesting point I'd never considered. Looking ahead, you know, and we'll kind of break down all the races here in a second, but obviously Sunday night you go to Eldora, and, you know, I already talked about my first opportunity to walk into Eldora and kind of what that was like for me. But as a driver, what's it like to come in there in the hauler and start unloading and you're at Eldora?
Nerve-wracking. Nerve-wracking.
That may be the most honest answer. And I didn't see you going with that, but that may be the most honest answer you could give.
You know, that place is, you know, I grew up there and just dreamed of one day to be able to unload there in a super late model, to have the opportunity to race there. And then once you go there, you know, you got to put a whole night together. You got to time in good. You got to heat good, and then start up front in the A main. So, you know, my wheels is always turning, and there's probably a little more nerves there than anywhere you go, just because it's Eldora and the prestige and what it takes to be fast there. And you know, Sunday night was special. I you know, used to the Johnny Appleseed race was the week before the World 100, and we would go up there every, you know, first weekend of September, rope off our camp spots for the World 100, and watch Johnny Appleseed. And the names that's won that race is just crazy. And for me to add my name on that is just really special. And, you know, I'm really more proud to give that to Beeman. You know, he told me after the race Sunday that he'd been going there since 1984 and just hoped one day to be on that stage as a winner. So for me to be able to give that to him was just something really special.
I know a guy from North Vernon, you know, for me was, you know, you see Jim Beeman logging on the side of the car, you know, when you go down the front stretch, and then when you throw it into turn one, you know, I see the Ride Auto parts on your, you know, on the spoiler. To me, you know, being from there, that means a whole lot to see those sponsors run around that racetrack.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's just crazy to think we put this team together and we have the capability to do this and go to Eldora and run with the best of the best there, and to be able to go to Victory Lane and you know, Beeman took the trophy in Sunday night to his house before we got there. His wife gives him crap because they're running out of space in the living room to put trophies. So, you know, that's pretty cool for me and special. And, you know, I've won there in a modified, and you know, it didn't really sink in for me when it happened that I'd won a super late model race there, let alone the Johnny Appleseed. And then, you know, the more I think about it, the more it's really awesome. And, you know, I just can't thank Beeman enough for giving me this opportunity, and Tater and Kurt and just all the guys that put, you know, blood, sweat, and tears in this, because it's a lot of work. And, you know, I just can't be more thankful.
Your move at the start of that race, from the grandstands was pretty impressive. You know, you went in right down on the bottom, about as low as you could possibly get without making contact with that inside wall, and then you know you drifted up to the top through one and two, and I was really impressed with that. I could tell you meant business right there when you took off.
Yeah, I knew I needed to get going. You know, I needed to get my momentum wound up pretty quick because in heat, you know, Shannon Buckingham, he was fast, and then Devin Moran was really quick, and you know, I knew I needed to get a good start because I didn't want to get behind the eight ball early. And clean air means everything over there. When you get out front and you got good clean air on your race car, you're normally faster than the field. So I knew I had to get going, and it just worked out perfect where I got a really good start, got under Bowersock before we got to the flag stand and slid up in front of him, and then just rolled turns one and two up in the cushion, and split Moran and Buckingham getting into three, and then just tried to hit my marks for the rest of the way.
It was, I mean, the guys behind you too, I was looking at this, you know, when we was getting ready to start here, let me see if I can find it real quick. The guys finished behind you, they have, you got, you know, Matt Miller, John Henry, you know, Dustin Nobby. I mean, that's where they race, you know, every week at. So, you know, all those guys behind you had way more laps around the track than you do in a late model. And, man, you just, you know, Moran knocked a spoiler off trying to keep up with you. So.
And I'll tell you what, that was one of the cool things from the stands. And I know you can't see that, obviously, from your car. But you talk about a guy and you know, credit to him, who was pushing to really make it a race with you. I mean, he's hitting the wall. He's knocked a spoiler off. I mean, and he never, until he pulled in and parked and you know, pit road, he never quit. I mean, it was exciting to watch him try and run you down.
Yeah, you know, it was funny because the gap was getting bigger, then it would get smaller.
Oh, yeah.
And with that big screen, you know, you can kind of sometimes glance up there and see it. And sometimes I would go get in turn one and he would be closer, and then I would get in turn one and he would be farther. So, you know, that was kind of nerve-wracking too. So I just knew I just needed to be smooth and hit my marks. And, you know, luckily it all panned out. I know I probably drove Kurt crazy on the sticks, but, you know, just luckily it all panned out, and just – it was crazy to get a win up there for the Johnny Appleseed, and just hopefully that rolls momentum into the dream here in a couple weeks.
I'm going to be honest. It's insane to me, because I've never sat in your seat and done what you do, to think about the speed you're carrying around Eldora and you're taking a peek at the big screen. I'm having trouble keeping up with all the cars on the track and watching from the stands. You're just taking a little peek to see where somebody's at. That's amazing to me.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know how you can find the time, you know, to find, you know, the guy with the sticks, or look up at the, you know, at the big screen and stuff like that.
You don't look all the time. You just, there's times on the entry of one, you can kind of get a quick glance of it. And where Kurt, my signal guy, was at Sunday night, he actually needed to be a little farther down because, you know, if I was running the bottom where I was the couple weeks before we went there and ran second, I could see him great, but when I was coming off two up top, I would kind of have to turn my head a little bit to catch him, so it made it difficult. But you know, luckily that you know, I felt like we was carrying good speed and good momentum, and I knew the line I was running, it was going to be really tough for any. It was pretty much the line I had. You was going to have to slide me getting into one and get a really good run off turn four to pass me, just the line I was running. So I really wasn't too concerned. You know, the race car felt awesome, and you know, that's just a big testimony to Tater and all my guys. You know, we've just been working and really trying to find some stuff, and you know, I just couldn't be more thankful and proud to have them guys on my team.
2 weeks out, well, actually, what, a week from tomorrow, we'll be racing the Dream. So what's your feeling, well, the weekend of the Dream, what's your feeling, your outlook going into?
I'm excited. You know, I can't wait to get over there. You know, like I said, it's nerve-wracking, though. It's the Dream, and, you know, that race has eluded me. I haven't made it yet, and I've tried, and we've came up short, you know, a couple times that we went. But I probably feel better about it right now than I ever have. You know, our race car's fast, and going there the first night and then the Johnny Appleseed, I feel like has made us better. We've all learned, you know, my crew guys and myself, on how to run that place, which I've been there a lot, but it's different every time you go, and we've been there in a couple different scenarios this year to work on our race car. So I'm really excited about it. I think we have a really good shot to get in and go 100, and you know, I'd be tickled to death if we could get in it. But you know, it's the dream, and it's they're gonna have the best of the best there, and you gotta have a lot of luck go your way. The way the format is now, with the qualifying and the points and the two nights of racing leading up to the dream, you know, you gotta have a lot of luck, but you gotta have speed and you gotta be fast. So, you know, we'll just see how it goes. I'm excited and I'm ready to get there, but you never know what's gonna happen. You know, it's Eldora.
Me and Dustin talked about that when we was over there Sunday, that you're going twice the distance of Brownstown, but only taking a second longer.
Yeah.
You know, that is unreal. That, you know, your qualifying speeds Saturday at Brownstown was just a second quicker than what you guys qualified, you know, over there.
Yeah.
At Eldora, and you're running twice the distance.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's just telling you how fast we're going over there.
Oh, and, yeah.
The speeds there, you know, it kind of slows down, though, really, when you're in the seat and you get in a rhythm and, you know, you get focused and you get out front and just trying to hit your marks. It kind of slows down. But, you know, early that place, it'll take your breath. It's fast and, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Do the straightaways seem as long in the cars? Because I know you've watched a lot of races over, too. Do they seem as long in the car as you do when you're watching it?
No, way up? The turns seem really long.
Oh, really?
It seems like you're in a corner forever. The straightaways don't seem that long. It seems like it's no time and you're back in a corner, and the corner seems really long.
See, it's opposite when you know. Yeah. It seems like you guys are through the corners pretty quick, but you know, you carry that long straightaway. So that's kind of cool to see that you see it totally different in the car.
And I almost, and if you don't want to answer this, if you feel like I'm jinxing you, you just tell me no. I don't mind it. You haven't made the dream yet. What do you think that transition is going to be from like a 30-lap feature to the 100 laps of the dream?
A big transition. You know, you want to set up to be there for the last 20, 25, you know, and you got to adjust your car to be there at the end. And, you know, them 25, 30 lap deals are sprint races compared to the, you know, that's stage one in the cup race. So, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. We got to get in first, but, we'll definitely, you know, that's in the back of my mind, setting a pace and keeping the edges on the tire and not over driving the car early with the tire rule there. You know, you're going to have a 20 on the left rear, so you can't abuse it. And, you know, you got to keep your car under you for 100 to be fast at the end.
You know, and that's what I think that, you know, from what you're used to racing, that I think that's probably the biggest challenge is how do you set that car up so that last 20 laps are your best 20 laps, you know, and you make sure you save it.
That's Tater Master's job.
do you think the format now, though, helps you, you know, with the smaller race on Thursday, then a little bigger race on Friday, and then the 100 on Saturday, like, helps you, like, figure out what you need to do? Maybe if you do something wrong on Thursday, you can realize it for Saturday?
You know, as a fan, I could see where people would think that. You know, you got two nights to race to get prepared for Saturday, but when I think back and, you know, the way it used to be, when you go up there on Friday, you would qualify two rounds, and then you would go to Saturday for the six heat races. You know, I feel like a guy like me could maybe get lucky and draw a good number and be in that 1 through 36 invert and start on the pole of a heat and go out there and maybe lead a heat or win a heat or run top three in a heat for 15 laps. Now I got to outrun these guys for two nights.
Right.
To get my points, because it's you know, they take qualifying points, heat points, and feature points from Thursday and Friday to set, you know, where you're at in points to do the invert on the Saturday.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I think about it as like, man, I would kind of like to go back to the other way on you know, just do a Friday qualifying and Saturday race, because like I said, you could get a guy that maybe is a long shot that gets a good qualifying number, you know, good draw, and bust a good lap off, and he hits that invert right, you know, and then he's only got to outrun people for 15 laps in a heat race instead of have to outrun him for two nights. So, you know, I don't know. You're definitely on the track more, and it maybe just give you more time to mess your stuff up. But
that's a good point too.
Like I said, that's on Tater. We're putting that on Tater.
You just got to wheel it.
That's my job. I'm hired to drive. I'm not hired to set it up.
You know, and I guess one thing I'll ask you too, as you kind of, you went to Eldora a couple weeks ago, ran second, obviously, you know, we've talked about you won the Johnny Appleseed Classic, and, you know, we don't ever want you to give away setups, but how much of that do you think you've learned going into next week? How much of that do you think we still got some tweaks? We still got to make some, you know, adjustments.
I feel confident. I'm really happy with we went in the first night with a totally different setup than we went in with the second night, and both setups a pretty good package. So I'm really confident, and the racetrack was different both nights. So you know that's you know pretty good for us. We feel really well about it, and you know it was two totally different surfaces, and we was fast both times. So and we're really confident going in.
Well, and I think, I mean, you just talked earlier that, you know, the first time you ran the bottom, this time you kind of ran up towards the cushion. I would think you'd feel good that now you've got some setups no matter what the track looks like going into to the dream.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, it's a lot of luck. You know, when you go to the draw shack and you draw, depending on, you know, if you go out early or you go out late, that the qualifying deal, you get so much points for qualifying. It's crazy how many points you get for qualifying. You can be fast time and not even make the race a night on like Thursday or Friday and still be setting good for an invert on the heat Saturday. So like I said, it's a lot of luck, but if your car's fast and you know it all pan out and be what it's going to be, I got a lot of confidence in my guys and myself right now. We're really running well, and you know, just hope I can get it in the show.
Well, and I think just the confidence factor would help you and, you know, the guys in the shop, you know. And obviously, I know it's not like you're usually down in the dumps or anything like that, but I would think just kind of building the season that this has got to give an extra boost to everybody getting ready for it.
It does. And like I said, going to Eldora the first two nights has gave me, you know, over 100 laps or so on the track already this year and really feel good about it, you know. So I think that's a big key for us to go there the first two nights and just try things, you know. That's what we was doing. That was our whole goal just to go there, is just to try things, just to get better for this dream. And you know Beeman wants to make it really bad, and we all do, and you know that's why we went over there. And you know, I think I think that's gonna pay big dividends for us.
I'm amazed at how much Eldora's changed over the years, because you remember back in the 90s, if anybody ran the bottom of the racetrack, you was out to lunch, man. You know, everybody ran right up on the top and around. You know, you only dropped down to pass and you was right back up. Now there's as much racing on the bottom of the racetrack as there is on the top anymore, you know. And that's amazing to me. I've watched how much that racetrack has changed like that.
It's definitely changed a lot through the years since Tony's got it. And I don't know if they took some cup out of the banking up on the tops 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, but I think it's produced better racing. You know, you if your car's good, you can pass. You know, you can go to the bottom, the middle, you know, diamond maneuver, what, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But I feel like the racing over there has definitely been better. And if your car's good, you can go anywhere you want to go and make passes.
Do you think it's as much as the track changing or the cars changing, or, you know, combination of both, you know, the different car setups, you know, from now back to the 90s?
It's probably a little bit of both, you know, and everybody's getting smarter, and these race cars are so good, and everybody's so competitive. But I think they've worked on the track, you know. I think they took a little bit of the cup out of the top on both ends. But like I said, these guys nowadays are so competitive, they'll figure out anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, make their stuff right.
You know, and you weren't the only, you know, we focused covering on, you know, the Brownstown Speedway guys and the drivers, and you weren't the only one that made the trip over to Eldora. We had a couple of the modified drivers run at Brownstown regularly that went over. Jeremy Owens in the 00 and Tim Rivers in the 46 both made the trip over to Eldora, and both had pretty good days.
Yeah.
You know, Jeremy was fast out of the gate, got in an accident, actually got squeezed on, you know, both sides coming out of turn two. And, you know, we talked a little bit before, he got put on the hook, and I thought he was done coming in. Then he rolled back out right by your trailer and went back out and was able to work his way back up to 10th. And, you know, we kind of started this new thing, and you know, Matt and I talked before, the Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee, photo-worthy move of the race. And this week, you know, obviously it could be your victory lane photo from Eldora, but you know, to watch Jeremy work back up from the back of the pack to 10th, he is our Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee photo worthy move of the week. So huge shout out to Jeremy, man. That was a heck of a run.
Well, this one, you know, you seen him getting taken out on the hook. We thought he was done, you know, he's kind of disappointed. And then, like you said, we seen him rolling back up there, you know, through the lineup shoot and everything, and coming back out, and then bring it all the way back up to 10th first time out, you know, I got to give a shout out to him too. So good job, Jeremy.
And also Tim Rivers, heck of a run. First time at Eldora, you know, gets it up to third place. And, you know, he's got to be feeling really good and confident. New modified car and was able to get that up there to third place. So, you know, a shout out to Tim as well for a heck of a run.
Well, especially because he couldn't run the feature on Saturday night at Brownstown because he broke the transmission in the heat race. But then he shows up over at Eldora and ready to race it.
Absolutely. So, you know, that's you know, it was pretty cool, you know, and I know that Matt has said this several times. That's why I'm excited about next week for the Dream with you guys over there. Is it's really cool to see guys that you get to see every week, you know, racing at Eldora and racing those big name guys. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a lot of fun for us to get a chance to go over there with you, Devin, and watch. You know, and Devin, moving on to kind of the rest of the season, what are some other big events that you're, you know, the Dream is obviously next week, but what's some other big events you're looking forward to in the Super this year?
The next one, you know.
That's
right. Right on.
We're race by race, you know, and that's the way we look at it. You know, we're going to Brownstown this Saturday for the Bob Series race 3000, and then the week after that we'll be at the Dream. And you know, we don't try to look too far ahead. We're focused on the now and what's going on now. And, you know, you never can tell where we'll show up. You know, plan on doing some summer national stuff. And then after that, it's just wide open. You know, I don't know what all we're going to do after that. But I know we're just all pumped up and really happy with the way the season's going so far. And, you know, just hope to continue it.
Let me ask you this from just driving style. How much does your driving style change between Brownstown and Eldora? You know, obviously we've talked about the size difference, the speed, but just as a driver in the seat, how much does that change how you set things up for you? I mean, you're setting up corners and those kind of things.
A little bit, just depending on the racetrack, the way it is. You know, if it's slick and slow, you kind of arc into the corner more at Eldora than you would at Brownstown. But if it's up top and, you know, like the way you get into turn one at Brownstown, it's kind of the same motion between throttle to brake as like I did in turn one Sunday. So, you know, it's just depending on what the racetrack is.
So it's really the surface more than even the track.
Yeah, I would think so. And the way, you know, if you got a big cushion or you don't have a cushion, or if it's really slow and slick, that really plays a big role.
Very cool. Very cool. So kind of take us through, obviously, the Bob Series here this weekend. I know you said that you tried to get some of the crew guys to come with you tonight, and I wish they would have. But kind of what's the setup to get ready to go to Eldora? I mean, once you come back to the shop after racing Saturday, obviously getting the car ready, when are you planning on pulling out? What's kind of the setup to get you ready for the Dream?
Well, our plan is, as of right now, after Saturday when we get home, we'll unload the car. Sunday morning, get up, go to church, come back and wash the race car, tear all the body off it. We're going to put a new body on it and get everything, you know, all of our maintenance, all of our tires and all that stuff done. And we plan on leaving out Wednesday morning.
Very, very cool. And then, obviously, you know, start racing on Thursday night and see where you go from there. Very cool. Want to run down the rest of the races from Brownstown on Saturday night, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, super late models had two heat races. Shelby Miles won one, and Devin, of course, won the second one there. And then when the feature came around, Devin put it in victory lane there, followed by Adam Bowman and Chad Stapleton, Alan Magner, Matt Beck should be your top five. Nick Hoffman showed up over there Saturday. Was you surprised to see him at Brownstown, Devin?
No, because, you know, the Jones Oil Company's, out of Shoals, Lagodi area. And, he's been making that trek back and forth from North Carolina to Indiana every week. And, you know, I wasn't surprised. He had some motor trouble after Saturday because he was planning on going to Eldora, but, you know, I foresee him to run Brownstown quite a bit this year.
I was surprised to see him. And then when we went to Eldora and he wasn't there, I was really surprised to see him not at Eldora.
Yeah, I was curious. That's why I texted him after it was over and I asked him, you know, where was you at? And he said they had some sort of motor issue after Brownstown Saturday that that caused them not be able to go. But, you know, you know, that guy, he drives from North Carolina to Indiana weekly, so I gotta commend him for that.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, just making that trek every week.
And then the Indiana Pro Late Models, you had two heat races in that. Shelby Miles won a heat race in the crates. Chad Stapleton won heat race number two in the crates, and then
first repeat winner of the year.
Yeah, Chad. Well, Devin was repeat winner also.
Well, I'm talking about in the Pro Late Models.
Yeah, in the Pro Late Models. But Chad won, then Tyler Kane was second, Shelby Miles third, Steve Gotze fourth, and Steve Peden fifth. Which that Steve Peden's actually impressed me. You know, this is his first year leaving the super stocks and stepping up to a crate car. That I'm pretty impressed with him, you know, making that move.
I've been impressed with Chad the past couple of weeks. His race, that crate car has been hooked up. And, you know, that's what I told him after the race this Saturday. I was like, man, you guys got – I don't know if the Naismith deal's made your program better by, you know, running that crate deal. But, you know, he's been awfully fast.
That's what I think, too, is him running with that Naismith series. He's, you know, he's had to step his game up. And, you know, when he comes back to Brownstown, he shows that he's, you know, he's learned something else this year.
You know, a lot of people around here probably wouldn't, you know, maybe not keep up with the Naismith stuff. But, you know, them crate guys that run that series are for real, and it's very competitive. So, you know, I can definitely see that's what's, you know, probably stepped his crate program up. And it definitely shows here, you know. That's what I told him, you know, man. I think he's got a good hold on that crate deal at Brownstown.
Oh, I agree with you there. I just don't know if he's going to be around enough to – you know, for a championship or anything, because I think he really wants to travel out with the Nate. Because the reason he was at Brownstown was they rained out. I think he was going to be down to Mississippi or Alabama one.
Yeah, that's what I was told that he was going to Mississippi, but they rained out. So, you know, I doubt he's going to be doing a championship deal. But, you know, I can see that it's really helping the race team and everybody involved. Even though Austin Burns has got a lot faster by running that series. And, you know, it showed that, you know, I follow it a little bit, that series is tough. And, you know, it's some of the best crate racers in the world. And, you know, it showed Chad's been really fast.
I agree with you there. And like he said, you know, Chad was the first repeat winner. And, you know, when you look at the points, you know, your top threes, Tyler Kane, Marty O'Neill, and Tyler O'Neill, all three of those have been in victory lane at Brownstown this year. You know, and Chad's been in there twice. And, you know, you said some of the – I think – Brownstown has some of the best crate late model drivers there are that show up, you know, at Brownstown. You know, that's me personally. I might be a little biased there, but you know, I think we got some talented guys in them crate cars there at Brownstown.
Well, and one thing I want to throw out real quick, changing the subject a little bit, but talking about Chad, just any listeners, you know,
I was getting ready to go there next.
Be on the lookout here coming up. We had a conversation. I know Chad, if you were at Brownstown Speedway on Saturday night, Chad kind of brought it up. In the Victory Lane interview, throttled up, and Chad, we're going to get together and kind of do a deal. We haven't worked out all the details, so I don't want to announce it, but there's going to be a partnership between us and him and looking for donors, you know, organ donors. So if you're not an organ donor, I'm just going to tell you, go out and get it put on your license now, because it may reward you in you know, in the future, because we are definitely – Chad was all on board. We just haven't worked out the details yet, but obviously he was excited because he announced it in Victory Lane before we even had much more than a few-minute conversation. But we are excited to get to kind of hook up with Chad and do something for that that organ donor.
Yeah, I'll be like you. Let's just say, you know, if you're not a donor, let's be one, and just make sure to bring your license to the track that shows that you are one, because maybe three or four times this year we can reward you guys that are donors.
Absolutely. So, but yeah, and it's you know, it's kind of a cool deal to see, you know, that side of Chad as well. And I know we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, but, you know, Chad's nickname, Total Chaos, and the character that he can be. And you know, I think it's really cool because, I mean, I know that obviously he showed his, you know, his emotions and what he's feeling with what his dad's going through right now. But as soon as we came up and brought up trying to partner and do something for organ donors, I mean, he jumped all over it. I mean, he was 100% behind it. So even though he's total chaos, I think that the fans need to also know that this guy's got one huge heart, too. And that character is great for the sport and great for racing, and he's fun to watch, but he's a darn good guy, too.
Well, I've said it, you know, from the get-go that we got to have characters in racing, and Chad is a character, you know, and he plays his part well. So it's, you know, I'm glad to see that, you know, he can do that, but this is serious for him, and I'm glad maybe we can come on and help him.
Absolutely. Superstocks.
Let's see, the Wilson Automotive Superstocks, Jason Heyman won his heat race, and then Mike Fields won heat race number two, and Mike Fields on a tear, two in a row now with a Superstock feature win. So last year we talked about it there in Victory Lane a little bit, that he couldn't get that car to make a lap on the racetrack, and this year he's won two features. So Fields is getting his stuff figured out. And then Jason finished second, Tim Shumpy was third, Aubrey Egan ran fourth, and Colton Sullivan ran fifth. So that's your top five in the Superstocks.
And I guess I didn't have my list up when I yelled out Superstocks. I jumped over the modifieds there.
Devin won his heat race there, heat one. And then heat two was Adam Stricker, which we brought him up. Wonder why he wasn't at Eldora. And then the feature, it was going to be Devin Gilpin. Jeremy Owens ran second to Devin. Stricker was third, Matt Boatnick fourth, and Dennis Boatnick fifth. Which I got to give a shout-out to Dennis, you know, 1979 – Brownstown Speedway late model track champion, and 2018 he's still turning laps, man. To me, that's pretty awesome.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. You know, you don't meet a better guy than Denny.
That's a fact.
And you know, he does great, you know, still today. And I'm happy to see him, and you know, him and his son still doing it together.
Yes.
And you know, it's cool to see Denny still doing this.
Can you imagine that foreshadowing your future? Can you imagine still turning laps at that age?
That would be crazy, you know. I just hope to be alive at that age, let alone racing.
But he still does. It's not like he's just going out and rolling around.
No,
the racetrack.
He's not you out know, just taking a Sunday
Dennis
drive.
Dennis is still racing,
yes,
when he's on the racetrack. You know, that's what I think is awesome. And then your Pewter Hall Pure Stocks, Houston Rourke, you know, won the first feature event this year in the Pure Stocks, won the first heat, and then Jeremy Hibner, who won his very first ever feature win two weekends ago now, but then Jim Raddick brings the old girl out from storage there in that old 7M and parks it in Victory Lane again. And then Houston Rourke ran second. Hibner was third. Keaton Strievel fourth. And Roger Absher was fifth. So there's your rundown from Brownstown this last Saturday.
And Devin, before we go on and talk about anything else, I know you've talked about some of the guys in your shop, and you've obviously talked about Beeman, but you know, go ahead and give a shout-out to some of those sponsors again that are helping you do what you do.
Well, on the late model side of things, you know, obviously Beeman and Tater and Kurt and all them guys, but, you know, the Jay Dickens Racing Engines, Jason Clarkson Logging, Bradley Machine, Ellis Gas and Oil, All-Star Performance, and all of our product sponsors, Bia Headers, just everybody on board on that deal. And then on my modified side of things, my cousin Kevin Fleetwood, without him, I wouldn't be running modifieds, and, you know, I can't thank him enough. And then Blondie's Pizzeria and Pub, my Uncle Mason, Mike Shell Race Engines, Impressive Race Cars, Dasco Race Supply with my grandpa, you know, without him, I wouldn't even be involved. So, you know, I got to give all the glory to my grandpa, and, you know, just a lot of good people behind me on both sides of things. And, you know, I say it a million times, but seriously, without each and every one of them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
And, you know, I can tell that you've been to Victory Lane a couple times this year, because you had that down to a science to rattle off all of those sponsors. And not that you don't have them all the time, but you've read those in Victory Lane a few times. You've rattled them off, I should say.
Got to take care of them, man.
And that's, you know, and again, that's, I know we talked the first time you were on, but that's something we wanted to do for those guys as well here on this podcast, and get their names out there, because the guys that support racing do it at a different level than what, you know, some other sponsors of other things do. You know, race sponsors really come out and help you guys and make sure you get to the track.
Now, I'm going to ask the guys out here on Facebook Live, and you guys got any questions for Devin, go ahead and type them in there. I know Sparkman and Nathan Bowling, like, they've been having a conversation amongst themselves. I don't think they've listened to us much tonight.
No, I really don't even know where to go with those two. They may have to get their own show.
I know my brother-in-law, John, he's listening tonight, so glad to have him on there. So if you guys got any questions, type them in there, and we'll throw them
out to Devin before we take off.
We just got a thumbs up from somebody.
Yeah, somebody gave us one.
I'll run down the points real quick, too. In the super late models, Alan Magner is your points leader right now at Brownstown, with Shelby Miles, Matt Bex, Steve Gotze, and Carly Holt, your top five. Devin, you're there in six for a guy that kind of moves around and kind of races wherever you want to this year. That's pretty awesome. Then you got Matt Boatnick leading in the modified points, Dennis Boatnick running second, Jeremy Owens third, Ryan Thomas fourth, and Devin, you're fifth in the modified. So two top tens, you know, both of them there, so that's pretty cool.
Sparkman asked how my sample of Eldora was, and Sparkman, I was fully warned and told several times that the Johnny Appleseed was just a sampling. But for me, I could have just got the opportunity to go there, and it's kind of one of those things that we'd always it just always fell through. It was always I was going to go, I didn't go, and it could have not even been racing, but just to get to walk in and kind of walk around the place and take it in and see it was amazing to me. And I am very excited to be at the Dream. We're planning on pulling out Thursday morning, so we'll be there all three nights, you know, for the racing, and can't wait to get the opportunity to really see, you know, a big main event. So,
and I didn't even take him down the pits or anything. I saved that for Dream Weekend. So, you know, we'll be sure to stop by and holler at you there when we're down.
Yeah, know, absolutely. So. And I can tell he's sprint car biased. So you need to catch a World of Outlaws show at Eldora.
I do.
Or a Four Crown or something like that. The speeds of a World of Outlaws sprint car at Eldora is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and I got I'll go ahead and say it. I got called out by Marty O'Neill on Saturday night at the racetrack because Matt let it slip how I really lean hard towards those sprint cars, and Marty's response to me was, "Did your mother drop you on your head?"
And then I responded back, "Yeah, twice."
So, but hey, I can't hate on him because
I'm with you. I really love him. I enjoy him. I was at Lawrenceburg Monday, wishing I had a World of Outlaw ride ripping around Lawrenceburg because they're. I just like I told you before. I just think it's as pure racing as you can get.
Well, and you know, Marty and I actually talked about it a little bit later on. And it's really true. I grew up going to Bloomington Speedway. And Bloomington Speedway is a great sprint car track. I mean, it's just so much fun to watch sprint cars there. And when the late models would come in, it's not a great late model track. So
no.
It was tough for them to put on a good show. So my whole growing up going to races was the late models really aren't that great. But everywhere I went and watched sprints, I enjoyed them. So that was part of it. And like I told Marty, I definitely enjoy the late model side of things now, being at Brownstown a lot more and getting to see everybody run. But no, I definitely have a very strong sprint car bias. There's no doubt. And I do definitely want to see a show at Eldora with them.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm a late model guy through and through, but watching the sprint cars at Eldora is a thing of its own right there. Like Devin said, it's the speed that they crank around that joint is unreal.
And Jeremy threw out, we should have came into the pits, and you're probably right, Jeremy. We got to see you at the gas station later on, so we ran into you on the way home and got to get the breakdown there. But, you know, I guess I'm going to ask you this as you know, thinking about Eldora, what do you imagine it's going to be like? Because I'm gonna say it when you make the Dream to roll out there to start.
Something I've dreamed about my whole life, other than it being the World 100, but the Dream World 100, same difference to me. You know, to walk across that stage when they announce, you know, if they announce my name to make it, is just probably the highlight of my career up to this point for me. You know, I've just always dreamed about making one of them big races, and you know, going 100 laps there with the best in the business, and you know, it'd be something special. And you know, I just hope I can give that back to Beeman for everything he's invested and put into this. And I know how bad he wants it, and I know how bad our team wants it, and I want it. So you know, for us to pull that off, that'd be something pretty high up there on the list.
You've raced Lucas Oil events before. When you get up against Blomqvist or Jeremy Owens or, you know, somebody like that, do you race them differently than you would just somebody at Brownstown, or is it all the same? You don't even notice who's beside you?
Maybe the first couple times it was different, but, you know, nowadays I've raced with them enough. They're just another racer to me. You know, I'm trying to get all I can get and get the best finish for my team and my guys that I can, you know. At first, it was kind of, you know, surreal. You know, I'm lining up next to Scott and Jimmy and JD and all them guys.
Right.
But, you know, nowadays they're just, you know, it's just like running a modified race at Brownstown or lining up next to, you know, them guys in the Lucas race. It's all the same for me now.
That's good that has transitioned, because that's going to help you out, that you don't notice it's Blomqvist or you don't notice it's Davenport, that you're just going to race.
My thing is, though, I got respect for everybody that I know's got talent, you know, and a lot of times the reason they're not in a high profile ride is just because dollars. You know, a lot of, like I said last time, a lot of these people that have rides is family owned, you know, something in that nature. And there's a lot of talented modified guys who no doubt could get in a late model and you know, excel and go to the top. So that's why, you know, I got respect for everybody that, you know, I feel has got a lot of talent and, you know, that are good race car drivers.
And I'm 100% in agreement with you on that, that there's a lot of guys that could probably drive in a whole different class just if they could fall on the right guy that's got some money that
it's that, all that about money. There's no, like I said last time, there's no compensation for money in dirt racing or any racing.
I'm going to ask you this because we brought up Blomqvist. Did you see what he did, obviously, in the B-Main at the Show Me 100?
Unbelievable.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because I've never seen anything like it.
You know, once I seen it, I figured he could maintain pace under green, but the yellow came out, and I didn't figure he would be able to keep the car straight, you know, and keep it going under yellow before they went back green. But, you know, that's just Scott Blomqvist, you know. That's just another deal to add to his crazy legacy, and, and you know, it doesn't surprise me, let's put it that way.
Nathan asks, how different is the driving style of a late model compared to a modified? Said he never really thought about it.
A lot. You know, not, you know, you got almost equivalent to the same horsepower in a dirt late model and a modified with half the tire and half the brake. So you have to really back your corner up in a modified and really watch what you're doing and not overdrive the car. In a late model, it's like nowadays, the harder you just, from lap one till the end, you just drive the heck out of them and get all you can get. So, you know, always tell everybody there's a kind of a really big difference for me anyway. You know, I know other people say that there's not, but for me, I really have to watch what I'm doing once I go from the late model to the modified to not overdrive the modified.
That's what I was going to ask you. When you jump out of the late model and then you get into the modified, is it, you know, you have to remind yourself, okay, I'm in the modified now.
Absolutely. Like I said, you know, you got about the same horsepower, half the tire, and half, you know, the brakes. That's a big deal in the mods, that you just don't have the brakes to stop. And so you definitely got to remind yourself, you know, you got to really back your corner up and, you know, kind of baby it in the corner versus late model.
That's kind of wild, because I'm like Nathan, I never thought of the difference, you know, between the two of them. And I bet driving both of them in the same night. Now, like Chad, you know, he drove the super late model, then he jumped down the crate. Would you have to change the same, do you think, with that? Or is
not
it
not really? It's about the same, other than you're just less horsepower. You know, you just probably got to free your car up more for the crate versus versus the super. But you know, it's about the same deal, just other than horsepower. But a modified is, it's two different worlds versus how they feel.
Nathan, does that satisfy you there? We'll find out soon enough, I guess. He's probably looking for a little devil's cut.
And Devin, I don't know if we asked you this the first time, so I apologize if I'm asking you again. These are starting to kind of run together a little bit. Have you done any of the iRacing stuff?
Yeah, I've done. I don't actually own my own rig. Really want to get one, but I've did quite a bit of it and really enjoy it.
Is it? I mean, comparing it obviously to you being on the track, is it that realistic and in a simulation?
To be honest, I want to say no because I'm not that good at it.
that's fair.
I don't know, because it's just two totally different worlds. You can hit that restart button really easy.
Yeah,
and you know, it's a lot easier to get the equipment fixed.
You're not banging it out in the garage for a week trying to get everything.
And you don't
fixed.
You don't have to test your courage, really. You know, you just hold it wide open in a computer game and do what you do. But in a real life action, you know, there's consequences of you know, wrecking hard or what have you. But you know, I really enjoy the game. I think you can take stuff from it. There's no doubt. You know, as far as just maybe repetition and you know, being on, like, say you're at Eldora and repetitions of trying to get into one and not hit the wall and being really smooth on the fuel and braking and stuff like that. But you know, in my mind, I really don't think there's a comparison to real life, real speed, you know, real time stuff.
Well, I've said it on here a couple times, but we've talked about, obviously, Braden Watson, who's running with Lucas, and kind of his background with the iRacing thing. And that first night I saw him at Brownstown when he was getting ready to crawl in the car, that was my exact thought, is you talk about the courage, and I'm not putting Braden down at all. I'd have needed several pairs of underwear before I climbed in that car the first night, thinking, you know, I've done this on iRacing, or even the first night he went to practice. I mean, that's a lot of car to be climbing in a modified for the first time and get to go do it. So it's a pretty cool deal to see what he's doing.
Chris Gambrill asked a pretty good question here. It said, with emphasis being placed on putting on a quality show in a moderate amount of time, from a driver's perspective, you guys have to get frustrated with dead time, such as excessive track prep or repair. In your opinion, what can be done? Would you be willing to sacrifice a better racing surface in favor of getting done sooner? So would you rather have a better surface or...
I wish they would have left the racetrack alone Saturday night.
Yep.
Yeah, and just went through the show, because I thought the racetrack was just... And the bad thing is, we don't get enough cars now to get it dark before the A-Main comes.
Right.
You know?
And it was just starting to darken up right there. I mean, just barely starting to put a little black down.
I wish you would have left it alone. I mean, it turned out all right. It made the racetrack dirty. But, you know, I know the fans don't want to see, you know, mid-show a water truck and pack trucks and the downtime. And for me, I was wanting to kind of, you know, I'm maybe being selfish here, but I was wanting to test a little bit in the black and try to learn something. But, you know, I think that's crucial is for racing nowadays, is like Kenny Wallace preaches this, that everyone wants stuff now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they need to be efficient, like, you know, NFL game or an NBA game, 3.5-4-hour program, and we're out of there. So, you know, that's about probably where they was with five classes. So,
yeah.
You know, I like I said, I wish he'd left alone.
I think the only reason he did what he did and is trying to keep the dust off the fans, because, you know, it seems like they either complain that we're taking the downtime, but then if we don't, they complain about the dust.
Cannot, you can't please them.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why he did that, because, you know, the track blew off quite quickly there in hot laps. You know, it was already starting to throw dust coming up out of one. I think he realized that the fans are going to start complaining about the dust. So I think that was his intention, was trying to kill some of the dust.
Well, either way, like I said, if he didn't do it, they're going to complain about the dust. And then when he goes out there in water, they complain about the downtime.
Yeah.
It's hard to please everyone in this sport. And the social media has killed it. Because it gave him an outlet to
be negative,
to complain about
it. And that's, you know, and that's what I will give a lot of the people credit that have kind of watched us and have, you know, messaged back on our social media, is that people have been very positive about it, because that's not what we got onto this for. You know, we wanted to sit down and talk to drivers like you and let you get your sponsors out and, you know, talk about the good side of it. So I'm glad to see that these guys have done it. But Keith Sparkman threw out, Devin, you need to find you a 410 non-wing sprint ride for Indiana Sprint Week and try it out. And I believe last time you were on, you said if somebody would throw you a sprint ride at some point, you'd love to climb in and give it a whirl at least.
Oh, absolutely. I've ran like 4 or 5 non-wing sprint races in my career, and I love them. You know, they're awesome. And then, like I said, I'm a huge fan of USAC and World of Outlaws, and or just a regular Saturday night sprint car racing. I love it, and I would be all game for it.
There was somebody else in the background, why I started laughing, that was shaking their head no. But and again, I'm going to say the same thing that I've said to several other people who have had that. You're not allowed to speak to my wife before you leave here tonight, because, you know, my dream would be my son someday runs a non-wing sprint. But so, yeah, we don't need to even talk about that. And we had the talk of the day. I got two sons now, and Matt told me I was going to have to be able to provide both of them a race car. And I said, no, we'll just say whoever's fastest drives it. The other one's got a wrench, because we're going to put one in the shoe and one can wrench. That's how we're going to do it. So, but any other questions here for Devin? We're right at about an hour and, you know, going to get ready to wrap it up. But if anybody's got any other questions for Devin before we turn him loose, go ahead and throw him out. And I guess, Devin, let's look ahead. What all's on tap? Well, obviously, Battle of the Bluegrass.
You asked Devin what he had in mind. Jackson 100 has to be on your mind, man. You know, you racing at Brownstown your whole life, that has to be a crown jewel, you know, in your mind that you want to win.
And realistically, I think we can get that one. You know, I really where our team is right now and how much speed we have, I think you know, that wouldn't be out of the equation that we couldn't do that. And you know, for me to win a Jackson 100, that would be huge. You know, I love that event. I love Brownstown. Yeah. And you know, I grew up there, and for me to, you know, like I said last time, for me to make that race and start fourth last year with Scott and Jimmy and all them guys, that was something, you know, I'll never forget. And you know, I really think it could be a reality here in the next few years. You know, maybe not this year, or but within the few, you know, next few years, I think that's something we could do.
Well, you look through the who's who that's raced at the Jackson 100, and that roster of drivers, you know, throughout the years, you could line that up with the World 100 roster. You know, of it's the best of the best has showed up at Brownstown to race that Jackson 100 race.
Oh, absolutely. You know, 9 out of 10, the guys that made the Jackson was the guys that in the World 100.
Yes.
You know, years ago battling for them. And it's the same since now. Just, you know, a lot of the World of Outlaw guys doesn't come probably because they have, you know, they have a series event scheduled that night. But, you know, them Lucas guys and World of Outlaw guys that, you know, that are top of their game is just unbelievable. And for me to be able to, you know, compete with them, that's something I'm really proud of. And, you know, like I've said, just thankful for Beeman to give me that opportunity. And, you know, he puts a lot into it. You know, we got a lot of good guys and we work really hard at it. And, you know, if it wasn't for him and, you know, believing in me and give me a shot, we wouldn't even be here talking about a Jackson 100. So I got to give a big thanks to Jim.
And I'm gonna speak for me and Dustin both here, but it's very cool. Like Saturday, we went over there and we rooted for the local guys. You know, you and Jeremy and Tim. You know, that makes that trip, you know, that 3-hour ride over there so much better. When, you know, because you know how it is to go to a racetrack, and you don't know nobody at the racetrack, and you don't know who to root for and who does what, but. You know, when you see, you know, your local guys there, that makes the trip, you know, really, really special, at least for me, and I think it does for Dustin too. So
yeah, and even when you know some of those other guys' names that are running, to have a relationship and see guys run every week definitely makes it a very fun experience.
I agree. And Jeremy Owens brought up, he thinks if you leave the racetrack alone instead of watering it, the dust will go away, that watering brings the dust back more than getting rid of it. That's just his opinion, and I have to agree with you. I think, you know, the first two or three laps in the race, the dust is pretty big, but it seems like it blows off after you guys get going. You guys blow it off and keep it off. Do you agree? I mean, is that what you see too?
I think what he's saying is if you don't water it and let it clean off black slick top to bottom, the dust will go away, but when you water it, it
just,
you know,
keeps coming back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have to agree.
Yeah. I'm going to agree also on that. So,
well, we're at about an hour, so I think anything else you got, Matt?
I'm good. Battle of Bluegrass this Saturday night. I can't – you got it up. I don't know what the support classes are, but super late models be there racing with the Battle of the Bluegrass, 3,000 to win. Devin said he's going to be there Saturday.
Let me
Worked
see.
Out perfect. My sister graduates Saturday. I want to give her a big shout-out for graduating.
Cool.
And so it worked out good that Brownstown had a 3,000 to win race this weekend, and we wasn't out of town, so I get to go to her graduation and then shoot back to Brownstown and see what we can do.
You still get a race and you get to be Brother of the Year. That's a perfect setup right there.
Heck yeah.
So obviously the Super Late Models 3000 to win, Indiana Pro Late Models, the Modifieds, Super Stocks, and the Mini Sprints will all be there on Saturday night. Will you have the Modified back out as well?
No. I think my cousin Jared's going to drive the car I've been driving this weekend. And then the next weekend we're going to go to the Dream. And then the Monday after the Dream, we're going to head down and get a new car from Florida and from Kyle Bronson. So,
oh wow,
it's kind of surprising, some news, and should be fun. Excited to see what this car feels like.
Very, very cool. Well, you know, Devin, I want to thank you again. I know this is a little bit of a drive down for you, and you know, I appreciate you always being willing to come down and help support us and be a part of the show. And like I said, we got to see our sticker selfishly in Victory Lane, and I appreciate you you always trying to help promote us as well. So thanks for coming down, man. I wish you the best of luck this Saturday, but even more, I wish you the best of luck next week as you go into the Dream.
Yeah, me too.
Man, anytime, and I love this. I love what you're doing, and we need to get a round table. We need Stapleton here and someone else we can just go back and forth all evening. It'll be a blast. And you know, I love, like I said, I love what you guys do. You guys do an awesome job, and this is neat, and this is cool. It's different, you know. I think the sport needs that, and I love the debate every week, and I look forward to watching it, and just can't thank you guys enough for having me back.
Well, I appreciate it, and I think we got to find one weekend off or one day definitely this summer that we get, you know, everybody in here and get to kind of hear just even the war stories that you guys kind of have, and, you know, and the only thing is, you know, as long as Chad shows up and not total chaos, we should be fine.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to put that 5-second delay in there for Chad. You know, then we'll get him on there. So,
but no, man. Again, like I said, I appreciate it, and you know, good luck to you and to the whole team. And like I said, we'll be over there, and I can tell you this: you know, a couple of your biggest fans will be sitting, you know, right there with us, because there's nothing more than we want to see is you running in the dream and getting to live out your dream of doing it.
Yeah, man, absolutely, and I, like I said, I can't thank you guys enough for having me on, and for all the support, and you know, everything you're doing for the sport. I really think this is awesome, and like I said, I really appreciate it.
All right, anything else, Matt?
Nope, good to go.
All right, thanks everybody on Facebook.
Look us up if you come over to the Dream. We'll be me and Dustin both will be around, so find us and we'll talk racing.
Yeah, and actually, good time to announce, if you are going to the Dream, do
come
find
buy
us.
A T-shirt.
Yeah, get a T-shirt off Devin. Also, hey, we got some can koozies. Find us over at the Dream, and we'll give some koozies away to you.
And we'll have our mobile setup, so we will be podcasting live from the Dream. So we will have a full 4-mic mobile setup. We won't be Facebook Live while we're there, at least not in the setup we have. But we will be recording. So if you want to come and talk a little bit about the Dream, if you're over there, come find Matt and I, and we'll set it up, and we'll do a little bit of a podcast over there. So, you know, again, get out. Buy a T-shirt from Devin. I'm getting ready to do the same thing right now because I needed one to wear at the Dream. So make sure you get a T-shirt, and good luck to everybody.
I'm from that dirt, 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 dirt. I'm all about that dirt, 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 dirt. I'm throwing dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, 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 dirt. Gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt. Dirt. Gotta get back to it. I've been the Kenny Wallace of the rap game. Woo! Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Yeah. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Huh. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Yep. Them cold kind, we're tossing. Right. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson. Watch me throw them sliders. Party in Victory Lane, and y'all boys ain't invited. Your mama gets excited when I pull up to unload. Even your grandpa talking about, man, that boy too cold. We don't sit on 24s, we don't ride on spinners. I'm posted up on them 15s with platinum dirt defenders. Got kids up in my window like, hey, Mo, are you gonna win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, cause y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that dirt, 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 dirt. I'm throwing dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, 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 dirt. Gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, 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 dirt. Gotta get back to it. I just won hot laps for the third week. Lil Dave said he thinks we're in the first heat. So I go and check the board on my bike, sitting outside pole. Y'all know what it's looking like. W, W, that's another George W. Hit him with that half a lap, like, dang, what gear you running, dude? And where'd you get that fire
suit. Man, I like that stitching. Velocity USA, hey, just tell Brad that I sent you. I'm shining like I'm rubbered up and I'm smiling for the pics.
Say cheese.
Y'all boys be looking tacky while I stay looking slick.
So short.
Four new rims, no new friends. They never know what I'm planning.
Never.
And mama just gave me them eyes like, dang, baby, you looking handsome.
Hey, Brad,
we pray and sing the anthem. Nobody takes a knee. We stop and show respect because we're all proud to be.
That's right.
From the land of the free and the home of the brave, y'all better wake up and get it. We're making America great again. Let's all go out and kick it on the
dirt, 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 dirt. I'm all about that dirt, 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 dirt. I'm throwing dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, dirt, dirt.
Gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that dirt. Dirt, I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to it.